This Torah class is brought to you by TorahAnytime.com.
We're going to start with a nice word in Parshas Mikaitz. And the Pusik B'leyochli Eichov Lanas Oisik and Yevhali Mipunov. Yosef's brothers were very ashamed hearing how Yosef was talking to them and revealing himself to them. And we know the Chazal say that this has much to do with what's going to happen, Oiluni Miyem Adin, what's going to happen in the world to come where people get ashamed. So the Bais Avrom explains that in this world, people don't get ashamed so much. Because when somebody's saying the truth, even if it's to your face, you can always make believe you think he's talking about someone else. Especially when a person's talking to a group, right? Yosef's brothers were all there in a group. So generally, people don't get ashamed. Somebody's giving a drusha about something, someone's being moirer about something, but you know, it's not me. And even though people really do know that inside that they are ashamed of how they're behaving and what they're doing and how this really does pertain to them, but they could always make believe that it doesn't. That's just how it is in this world. Now, Yosef's brothers were all together in this, and it was a little shameful because they couldn't make believe that it was someone else. But in general, we have that option. When it comes to the world to come, when it comes to Olam Habu, when we come to the Yom Hadin, then there's nothing to hide. Up in Shemayim, it's all open. Everybody is spoken to directly and specifically, and it's very, very shameful. So the idea of Le'ochli Eichav Lanas Oisik and Ephali Mipunav is something that in this world we generally don't experience, even though we all know our own shortcomings and we all know our own problems and we all know what we should be ashamed of. Sometimes just we don't admit it, and that's what cripples us. Now, when it comes to relationships, very often, especially when anything has to do with two people not getting along, right? Relationships mean that it's an interpersonal thing where we're not getting along. It's always easy to see where the other person is doing the wrong thing, and so it's hard to see where you could be doing better. The issue arises when sometimes people really do know what they could be doing better, and it's hard to admit it. In other words, the fact that sometimes we're just so subjective that we don't even notice what we're doing wrong, okay, that's a problem of life. It's a natural consequence of being a human being, you know, just seeing things, you know, through your own perspective, and it's hard to see it in the way that other people see it. But sometimes we do know the truth. And sometimes it's just hard to admit what the truth is, and we try to cover it up. And we're not being ashamed because, you know, I could hide it and make believe I don't know it, but really when we're honest about these things, it changes the picture and at least gives us the opportunity, you know, to be more truthful to ourselves and to the people around us and to take care of what we should be taking care of in order to be more successful in our relationships. So I want to read a letter and then address something along these lines of this topic. Hi, thank you very much for your shiur. I listen and enjoy them tremendously on Torah anytime. Thank you. I've married for a little over X amount of years. I have an amazing, loving, and caring husband. I'm currently in therapy for something which I was paskined before my wedding to keep quiet and not disclose, even to my spouse. I had some minor struggles after the wedding, as in connecting and sharing with my husband. When the going got a little tough and I lost it, being in a bad mood, etc., my husband would be clueless as to what's bothering me and try to ask me about it. At some point, I would formulate some decent excuse and all was great. I did share with him different things which were hard for me, but never the root of where it's all coming from. After one such episode, my husband gave a say. This is it, right? You're not hiding anything else, correct? To which I promised. I told him I'm open and telling him everything. It's gotten to a point where I can't go on living this way, seeing a therapist once or twice a week without my husband knowing. Always having to find excuses when having a hard day and unable to have his support. I wish I can tell him, but between you and me, I don't think it's a good idea, and he'll never believe me or trust me again. Right now, life is Baruch Hashem great between the two of us. As great as it sounds, to have him know, I think the price for that is not worth it. But I also feel like it's not possible to connect 100% from my end as long as I'm doing something behind his back. I know that's Tari Paskin, I shouldn't tell him in the beginning. I would ask to reevaluate, but I think I missed the boat. My marriage will be over. What would you suggest? Now for the second part of my question. All of the above feelings are not true, I think. The feelings seem very real, but deep down I know that what I said caused it, that what I say caused it is not true. I truly believe I made up a story as a girl. At this point, I don't know how to go about it. I think I have symptoms, but think that it's because I told myself over and over again my story. I don't know what to do about it. I so strongly lie to myself that my mind and body are physically reacting to triggers by now. How do I undo such a huge lie without telling others? Because if I do, I'm a goner. My life is over. I'm so torn and so confused. Would you possibly shed some light as to where I should start and begin and what to do? Thanks in advance. Wow. This is quite a tough question and very personal, which means I assume that when I got an email like this, I probably said that it's best to go get personal guidance and not rely on me addressing this in the shir. I don't know enough about what you're telling me. And it would be irresponsible for me or for you to rely on anything that I could offer you now, just after reading this letter. One of the things about going to get guidance, first of all, is also some people just hold themselves back from letting themselves be guided or discussing with someone because they're afraid to hear the truth. I just saw this recently with somebody who was even just talking to me and not wanting to hear what I had to say, but I saw that later on, again, asking, he was resisting asking the right people for how to go about things because he was afraid what he would hear. In other words, deep down, a lot of us know that we're supposed to be doing something about something, and we're afraid to hear it because it's going to be hard. So aside from being afraid to do what we have to do, we're even afraid to hear somebody say that we have to do it, and it's just another fear to add on. So that's also something that we have to overcome. We have to overcome the fear of hearing something we might not want to. And sadly, a lot of people have that fear, and then whenever they do hear what they don't want to, they just nix it. One more thing that I'll just mention by way of introduction is that the fact that you have a great husband and a great marriage is definitely something to be very thankful for. I say often that when Shalom Bayis is good, you can overcome any challenge just because there's two people that are willing to work together on a problem. And when Shalom Bayis is not good, unfortunately, then the smallest thing becomes an issue and everything could become huge. So the fact that you're dealing with whatever kind of issue it is, but you're dealing with a marriage that's, Baruch Hashem, good and healthy and happy, is definitely something to be very thankful for. So it's not just to thank Hashem, it's even just to also to thank Hashem, but also just to know it on your own. That's a very good, a very helpful thing. Now, you mentioned twice in your letter that you're afraid of the worst. One is that you're afraid that if you say something to your husband, your marriage will be over. That's a pretty big fear, to think that your marriage will be over. Another thing is that if you're going to say something about other, if you can say something to other people about what you call this narrative, this big lie that you have, you're a goner and your life is over. So it's interesting. Now, I don't think your marriage or your life will really be over just because you tell people things, but I understand that you're very afraid, and it's sad, but very many people have this incorrect mindset which cripples them. I'm afraid that if I do this, it's going to be a catastrophe. I can't afford it. And people sometimes hold themselves back from doing things that would really be so helpful to them, make their life and their marriage and their everything so much easier, but they're afraid of what might happen, and it's unrealistic. It's unrealistic fear. Your life doesn't go over so fast. Mitzvah Hashem, it should be till 120. And your marriage doesn't go over so fast, just because something happened. And it's sad. I've seen people dealing with many issues in life, and they're so afraid of what might happen if something gets exposed or something gets uncovered or revealed or known or whatever it is, or something might happen, that they just hide in the corner and they wait for it to happen because they can't avoid it, but they also don't know how to deal with it. In the meantime, they could have made things better than just letting it happen on its own. So I think that with a lot of things, it's definitely a better idea to overcome these fears of what might happen if I address it, what might happen if I try to do something about it, what might happen if somebody tells me what to do about it, what might happen if I actually do something about it. I think that in general, you'll be much happier and much better off. Now, just another word about going for help. Anyone dealing with an issue, being that it's so personal and so up close, it's always very, it looks huge, and it is huge. Everyone's problem to themselves is huge. Right? The joke about the guy who was complaining to his friend about what a bad day he had, what a bad week he had, and everything was going wrong, and it was terrible, and he lost money, and he's not healthy, and everything was going bad. And his friend says, it could have been worse. I said, really? What could be worse than that? Said, what would have happened to me? And that's how we are. When something happens to us, it looks tremendous. But there's another part of this that's not just because we take ourselves seriously, but because when people deal with problems and they never yet dealt with it, so it's the first time they're dealing with it, it looks like it's something that's huge and terrible and extraordinary. And when you talk to someone about it, you might realize that, people have gone through this, people know the answer, people know how to deal with these things, and it's a shame. It's a shame to not let yourself be guided and to deal with these kind of things that limit you and handicap you because of your fears and because of your not knowing how to go about it. So that's something to just not let yourself get stuck on. Now, you started off saying something about having it paskened before you got married, that you shouldn't share this with anyone, not even your spouse. And I spoke about this recently in one of the shirim, in one of the classes about shadichim. It happens often that early on, people are told that in order to do a shidduch, you don't have to disclose a certain information. Now, without going into the specifics and the examples and all the different perspectives on this topic, it is true that sometimes if people would disclose certain pieces of information, they wouldn't be able to do a shidduch. It's true. People would not be able to do a shidduch if they would disclose certain things. So I guess that's part of the reason why they're sometimes guided that they shouldn't disclose it. It's not always because it's irrelevant. In other words, there are things that you might be told that you don't have to disclose because it's not important. And if it's not important, then why say it? That's one thing. But it's another thing that sometimes you'll be told not to say it because it's not important enough to disclose and you don't have to. And if you do, you're going to be crippling yourself for life, and that's why you don't have to. Now, this causes a lot of times problems later on where really the issue is an issue. And you're right that in order to do shidduch, you had to hide it. But at the end of the day, the issue didn't really disappear just because you're allowed to hide it. And so I'm just saying that I understand why sometimes there's no choice but to hide something, because otherwise it's just suicide. On the other hand, hiding something is not always the way to go, simply because that's not a responsible thing to do and assume that, oh, we'll hide it, nobody will ever know. What makes you think so? If your parents figured it out when you were a teenager, then your spouse might figure it out after a few years. So it's just something to think about. The fact that you're allowed to hide something doesn't mean that there's a way to live. In general, it could be unrealistic to hold on to long-term secrets when they're very big secrets. You know, if you're going to try to do something long-term and hope that nobody finds out about it, and it's consistent and it's ongoing and it's not a small thing, then sometimes you have to come up with a better way to deal with this going forward. Aside from the fact that b'chlal hiding secrets is not an easy thing, forget about the emotional toll that it takes on people, right, which you're also experiencing. And besides the being impractical to hold a long-term secret, sometimes people just don't realize how... I've seen this so many times, where somebody mistakenly leaves a phone with some text messages, or writes in a journal hoping nobody will see it, or leaves things in their pockets without going into examples, and not realizing that somebody might just notice it or might fall out of your pocket. I mean, there's only so much you can really hide. So to think that this is a long-term solution, it's not a long-term solution. So even if somebody told you you don't have to share something, it's always good to have the follow-up. And what do I do now? You know, is this really something? And sometimes it is something you have to hide because you don't have a choice. So you'll have to hide it for the rest of your life. Sometimes it's something that you could hide, but it's something to think about. In general, people aren't stupid. And people anyway know that something is there. There are people that actually know certain things that they don't say they know, but you know that they know that you know that you know that they don't. It just gets very confusing. And, sometimes it's just easier to be straightforward sometimes. Sometimes. Not always, sometimes. In fact, your husband's asking if you're hiding anything. Again, this is not revealing, because this is happens a lot of times that people ask each other if you're being truthful, and they say yeah. But the fact that somebody's asking if you're being truthful just goes to show that you might not be doing a great job being truthful, and sometimes it's easier to just be truthful. One thing that just a simple practical idea is that even if you were told to hide something and you were hiding something, or even if you weren't told to hide something but you were hiding something. Let's say you're doing something for a while and you were hiding it. Now, it's very hard to go admit that you were hiding something because you don't know how it's going to be taken. But maybe you can start shifting it to a new reality of disclosing this going forward. Right? If you were doing something for a while that you didn't, you feel ashamed to admit that you were doing it, not just because it wasn't a good thing to do, but more because you're ashamed to admit that you were holding a secret and going behind someone's back. But maybe going forward, you could figure out a nice way to introduce the idea and tell your spouse that, you know, going forward, you want to do this thing, and figure out a nice way to do it and a good way to do it and be clear about it. And at least going forward, you won't have to hold a secret. So the fact that this was once a secret, maybe that part you don't have to disclose. I'm saying this because so often when people go into things, like you're mentioning, and you go into it in a secretive way, you feel stuck in that because you think that it's either disclosing that you always lied or never disclosing anything and continuing this route. And I don't think that's true. I've seen people do this successfully with a lot of different things in life. One young man was telling me this about a certain business that he was involved in. His wife didn't know. Why didn't she know? For whatever reason, he didn't want to tell her or couldn't tell her, if it was her fault or his fault, whatever it was. At some point, he felt that it wasn't good anymore. Now, instead of going and saying, you know, I'm knee-deep into this business already, and these are all the contacts and all the things that I've been doing, he slowly introduced her and said, going forward, I think this is what I want to do. And she wasn't so happy about it, but by then already he was more familiar and more confident with what he was about to do. And automatically, he was able to shift into it from today on. This is what we're doing. I've seen somebody do this with a chavrusa that he had. And the reason he tells me why he didn't want to tell his wife that he had a chavrusa was because he was afraid that she would laugh at him. It's already the 10th time he's switching a chavrusa. He said, you know, I won't tell her. He started a chavrusa. And after a month or two of seeing that it was really working, he had the confidence to say, I'm changing a chavrusa. And when she said, no, it's not going to last. Why don't you stick to this one, that one? He said, no, this one I want to try. I think it's going to last. And sure enough, he was right. So was he right for not sharing it? Maybe not. Could it be that she was the reason why he was afraid to share something because of her reaction that he was afraid of? Could be also. But going forward, and another example that I wanted to mention just was seeing somebody do this when it came to medication and medical health, mental health, and whatever it was that he didn't want to share about the past, but now he felt close enough and comfortable enough to say, you know, I think I would consider going to a psychiatrist to see if I could do something about my anxiety. Okay, so without saying that this is something he's been dealing with in the past, he was able to introduce a new reality that was helpful. So I'm just giving the idea that sometimes hiding something is necessary and correct, and even then, sometimes you still have to shift into a better way of doing things long term. And sometimes, even if it wasn't correct in the past, you still might not have to undo the past in order to have a better future. Now, I spoke many times about the idea of complete transparency when it comes to relationships. Some relationships, some marriages, some relationships can handle almost complete transparency. I don't believe that there are relationships that can handle complete transparency, which means that you could actually be comfortable with somebody reading your mind the whole day, right? That would be complete transparency. I'll tell you everything I'm thinking. I'll tell you every dream I had, every fantasy, every thought, every... I don't think that's reasonable. But in general, there are people that are very transparent, very comfortable with... I'm fine with you hearing my conversations. You're fine with me hearing your conversations. You can look at my text messages. You can go through my pockets. I have nothing to hide. We're one. We're comfortable. There are relationships like that that are comfortable with almost complete transparency. Beautiful. Those that are, so be it. Good for you. And there's no reason to not enjoy that. And I think that every relationship, even those that can't handle complete transparency, and people do feel the need to protect each other from each other on some level, in the areas where you could be more open about it, why not? Why not? Sometimes people just get so used to not sharing things because they're afraid of a certain reaction, they don't share anything anymore. And that just leads to more resentment and hurt feelings. Why didn't you share that with me? It was so simple. Why couldn't you just tell me? And sometimes people just get so used to not sharing things that they don't even realize when they could. And it's wrong. Because, you know, if you're married and you're close, then why wouldn't you share information? Not that you have to share everything, but why not? Why not? Maybe joke about the guy who came to the immigration and they asked him how old he is, and he's thinking, he's not answering. So his friend says, Yanko, what's taking you so long? He said, I can't figure out if I should say that I'm older than I am or younger than I am. He said, why don't you just say how old you are? I didn't think of that. Sometimes there are people that they get so used to hiding things that when it comes to something so trivial, so simple, that would just be another nice way of connecting with a spouse, they're like, oh, smashangify, I didn't think to share that. Why not? So my point is that in the relationships where you could share, and in the areas where you could share, by all means, share whatever you could. It's a wonderful thing to do. Not that you're obligated, but it's wonderful to be open and share whatever you could. In the relationships where you can't, because you either learn from experience that sharing too much is not doing well, or in the topics where you feel that, okay, in this area, for whatever reason, I can't, that's when it's important to understand that it's not terrible. And this is something where many people, I see from the letter you're writing, feel like it's a blockage in connection. Now, it could be it is a blockage in connection. It could be you want to feel so united and one with your spouse that you wish you could share everything. But if you can't, you can't. So stop trying to overcome that feeling and wanting to be able to share everything just to be even more connected with somebody, if sharing more sometimes will cause a disconnection. So even though in theory it's true that the more you share, the more connected. But sometimes when it's not good to share, or things that are not good to share, the more you share could be disconnection. And that's something people don't realize sometimes. And it's not a problem. It's not uncommon. It's normal. Many times I quoted these sources, let's call it, Chazal tell us, as bad as it is to lie and as bad as it is to be dishonest, when it comes to promoting peace and promoting good feeling and promoting connection, Darkei Shulam, who else do you want to have Shulam with your spouse? Sometimes you hide things. Sometimes you shift a little. Sometimes you change that. You tweak the truth just a little bit. Right? We just learned recently, Rashi says, why was Yosef called Yosef? Right? Each of the Shvutim got their names for a reason. So it says that Ruchel called Yosef that name because Usaf alekim es chapusi. So Rashi explains that when there's no children in the house and the husband comes home, hey, who broke that? Now he's upset at his wife. When there's children in the house, she could say, oh, my son broke it. Actually, the Lushan of Rashi is interestingly, your son broke it. Not my son, your son. Okay. But whatever it is, does Rashi mean to imply that only when the son breaks it, that's when you say it? Well, if that's the case, then you don't have to have children for that, because when there's no children, they're not breaking anything. So you're even better off. The answer is that no, sometimes you actually break something, and instead of having your husband be upset at you, you blame it on the child, and it goes over better. Now, what does that mean? Are we being taught to lie? Well, maybe sometimes, in the name of Shulam Bayis. I mean, we also learned last week about Yitzchak Vini, knowing that Yosef was alive, and not telling Yaakov Vini, he was hiding the truth. Now, for whatever reason, Rashi explains why. My idea is that not always could you say everything. In the Bartanira that I quote often about Altar Besichem Isha, don't tell your wife everything. You're going to come home and tell her that somebody in Besmedesh called you a liar or a thief or whatever, and she might say, oh, really? That's what people think about you? And now she's going to look down at you. What do you mean? But I want to share it with my wife. Who else should I share it with? I'm coming home so broken from Besmedesh. Somebody embarrassed me. Who am I going to share it with? Well, this may be something that could cause a disconnect if you share too much. So these are normal ideas. These are not ideas for problem situations. The Chavos Avos says that everything Hashem made is for the good, and Hashem made the idea of shaker and dishonesty for the good. Because if you'll be honest with everyone about what you think about them, every time you have something not nice to say, what's that going to cause? So imagine if every husband and wife always said whatever was on their mind, in a good moment and a bad moment, in the good moods, the bad moods. I think it would be terrible. And there are people that are very busy promoting transparency and disclosures and using lie detectors. I've seen that demanded many times. I know there are situations where sometimes you want to make sure that somebody's not just living a double life. And in general, like I said before, whatever you could share, you should share. And it's not good to get used to lying and not sharing. And it's not a way to have a relationship. But sometimes it's just not healthy. Somebody's demanding a disclosure about something. And the more honest you are and the more information you share, the more they use against you for the rest of your life. I've seen that so many times. Where somebody was just trying to be honest, hoping that in the name of honesty and sharing and transparency will be closer and more loving and more understanding and more forgiving. And it was members the other way around. For the rest of their life, they were dealing with what they disclosed, which wasn't a great idea. There are stories about Gedol Yisrael, who I mentioned a few already in the past, where after the Rebbetzin was nifter, the Rebbe, the Ruv, whoever it was, the Rosh Hashiva said that, oh, from now on, I don't want to eat that food. I never really liked it. So why did you fool your wife all your life? The answer is because that was necessary. Or why didn't you let her know that you were upset about something and only wait until she was nifter to do a certain minig or masorah that was really so important to you that 70 years later you still remember that you gave up on? Why? Because you didn't want to be so transparent. Sometimes being mavra medoisa, but being mavater means not being transparent. Now sometimes you should say. My point is just that it's not always a great idea. Somebody said a story about, I mean the idea was just to, the point was a different point. But somebody said a story about a guy who was on his deathbed and he tells his wife, before I go from this world, I have to tell you something. I can't go away from this world without telling you the truth. What was it? So I never really wanted to marry you. And your father promised me so much money that I didn't have a choice. And anyway, didn't have anyone else to marry. And he told me that every time I do something nice to you, he's going to pay me for it. And even though I really didn't want to, I didn't want to buy you gifts. I didn't want to make you birthday parties. I didn't want to go on walks with you. Whenever I was near you, it was mamasha. It was so painful. I hated every moment. But I kept on doing this because I didn't have a choice. And every time I did it, I got paid for it. And that's how we had a living. And that's how I had to go on. And I feel by going away from this world without letting you know that it was mamish, you should know every single such encounter and experience was just so much pain. And I just want to be honest about it. And with that, he closed his eyes and he left this world. So the point that somebody was bringing out was that you see how in one moment, hearing one line, changes the perspective of everything that just went on. All the good memories, all the good pictures, all the videos and all the clips and all the whatever it was that somebody felt about all these parties and gifts and everything was like, in one second, everything just shifted. Every single picture now was a memory of pain, right? And whatever. But what I wanted to just mention in regard to what we're discussing here, he felt it was so important to disclose. I can't be not truthful to my wife, right? What did he just do? He just killed his wife. I mean, he left this world, but he left over a dead woman who's in the... And people do this. In the name of being open, people hurt themselves, they hurt their spouse, and sometimes you just have to know how to navigate. So that's some ideas about transparency. Now, at the same time, let me just address something about your relationship here, right? When somebody... tantrums, let's call it, right, for lack of a better word, even though we're talking about adults, when somebody loses it at home, they're very angry about something. Sometimes because you're hiding something, which means you don't want to let your wife know that you just lost a lot of money in the business, and that's why you're so angry, right? You don't want to tell your wife that somebody just embarrassed you in Sheol, and that's why you're so hurt now, and that's why you're giving it out on her, right? Because we said you don't want to share everything. But in the name of not sharing, you have to come up with another excuse. What's your excuse? You always treat me that way. So you're shifting it now because you don't want to own up. Because you have a secret. What people don't realize is that the fact that you have a secret and you don't have to disclose that secret necessarily doesn't mean that you should now start shifting blame for something that happened instead of saying, I made a mistake, I shouldn't have reacted that way. I'm sorry that I said this. Instead of trying to cover up and make someone else the problem, because you want to make sure that it doesn't look like you have an issue, sometimes it's just better to say, you're right, I shouldn't have done that. Now, the fact that you don't want to explain why it happened, okay, so you don't want to explain why it happened. You don't want to explain why you're stressed out or anxious or disturbed or hurt, okay, so let it be unexplainable. But that's not a reason to not take responsibility when you do something wrong. And this is where I think some people confuse the two ideas. The fact that I don't have to tell you exactly what's going on in my life doesn't mean that I'm going to make a whole new narrative, which is, of course, going to absolve me of any guilt, and I have to find the culprit, so it's going to be you from now on. That's definitely not something that has nothing to do with being truthful or honest or disclosing or transparent. It has to do with just knowing how to get along with people and not hurting anyone and not blaming other people for problems that you have. I think that's a very important thing. If people would only be a little more honest just about what's going on now, forget about anything else, any explanation, just being honest about the fact that I did not do the right thing, first to know it about yourself, and then to be able to share it, whether in the moment or afterwards, it would already make so many people happy. And I know it's not easy. It's not easy to say, you know, yesterday we had this fight and this argument, and honestly, I think it was all my fault. I shouldn't have done that. It's not easy to say that. It takes big people to say that. But at least realizing that you could compartmentalize and know which parts you don't want to share, but you don't have to now just change the whole reality. Just change the whole reality because of it, and change the whole narrative of your life because of one thing that you're trying to hide. That's not something that's a good idea in relationships in general. Now, let me address the second part of your letter over here about living a lie. Let's call it living a lie. Right? People have this narrative that they came up with either when they were young, whether because they were young or because somebody put it on them, or because for whatever reason, emotionally they got overtaken by a certain reality. And now they question that reality. Now, admitting that you're living a lie, and forget about the word living a lie, just admitting to a lie, admitting to a mistake, is not easy. There was recently a whole politics about something, and somebody was talking about how there were two different sides, and people were saying this, people were saying that, and he mentioned something interesting. He said, it takes a big person to not be persuaded by what others are trying to get him to do. It takes a big person. But it takes an even bigger person who was persuaded to come out later and say, you know, I made a mistake. It takes a much bigger person. Which means that by the time somebody was overtaken by whatever drama or got swept into something, it's very hard to then admit and say, you know, I realize now I made a mistake. People don't do that. So they keep on promoting a certain agenda or a certain thing because they can't get out of it. It's not easy to come and say, you know, I made a mistake for a long time and I was fooling you or me or everyone. It's not easy. If you feel that for a long time you were fooling yourself about something, I'll tell you up front, it's not going to be easy to say that you know, I was living a mistake and I was convincing myself something, I was letting other people convince me things and convincing other people. That's not easy. It's not easy. Is your life over if you do it? No, I'm telling you clearly, it's not going to be over. It might be starting if you live the truth. Like I said before, you don't have to be so afraid of it, but it's not easy. Recently, somebody gave me feedback on a class that I gave, and he said, you know, more than your answer, I appreciated the question, because in the questioner was being so vulnerable and so honest about how he feels, which most people, to protect their ego, they don't do that. Most people, when they write about how their wife mistreats them, a lot of people will say, it doesn't even bother me so much, I just can't stand the dishonesty. Instead of saying, no, I don't care if she's dishonest, it really hurts my feelings. I feel so hurt and put down and ashamed by it. Now, very, very many people want to protect that. They can't be that vulnerable, and they protect their ego, and they can't express themselves that way. So hearing somebody be very vulnerable and honest, even if just to themselves, or even just anonymously, to an email to me, it's refreshing, and it helps people realize, you know, I should really look inward and see the truth in myself. Now, to go out now and say it to other people is already step two, but you're just acknowledging it is already helpful. Somebody once showed me, actually, something that... how do I say this? He found he wasn't getting along with someone and found that person had written down on paper a whole long expression of, I really know the truth. I'm fighting with Yanko, let's call it. I'm fighting with Yanko. And I'm telling Yanko how I think it's all his fault. And I'm getting everyone to see that it's Yanko's fault. And so many people believe me, and so many people are telling Yanko he's doing the wrong thing. And I know the truth, that I was the one that caused it. And I'm the one that has the good way of saying it and convincing people. And I manipulate everyone around. And Yanko's never suffering. And every time we hash it out, everyone thinks that Yanko's the fool. And I keep on playing this game because I can't get out of it, but I really know the truth. And, you know, seeing that in writing was very eye-opening. A lot of times people know the truth. Now, most people can't even get it onto a paper. Most people can't even get into their thoughts. Every time they start thinking, is Yankel really right? No, it can't be Yankel's Meshuggah. Everyone told me that I'm right. Most people can't even admit it to themselves, forget about, put it on a paper, and then go tell it to other people. There's not a question that sometimes people just get into this thing where they fool themselves. Now, sometimes it's on a personal level where a person gets into a certain routine of looking for, doing something for attention or playing dumb or different things that people get used to, and then they just do it for the rest of their life, even though it's so silly and they don't really want to do it, and they're not doing it naturally, like they make believe they are, but they can't get out of it. It's very hard to one day say, you know what, I was being ridiculous till now. It's a very hard thing to do. So as long as it's personal and it's about you, and you put yourself in a certain mode or certain track of doing things that you can't get out of, okay, so you could, you can't. At least you're only hurting yourself. When it comes to other people, you know, you're affecting other people and you're hurting other people, all because of a lie that you concocted, all because of a narrative that you got people to believe. It's much more responsibility. There's much more reason to really try your best to figure out how to get out of this so it shouldn't keep on affecting people. Now, in your case, it sounds like it is somewhat personal, right? It's not like you're going around telling people that, again, I don't know. I don't, because you're not being clear about it, but it's not like you're convincing people that your husband's causing you all your problems, and now you're getting everyone to attack him for it, which I've seen this many times, unfortunately. It sounds like it's some personal issue, although I don't know exactly what it is. But admitting the truth isn't easy. It isn't easy. It isn't easy. I've seen many people fall into the trap of coming up with narratives which either they believed or they were told or they were made believe, or whatever reason, it got them some kind of attention, whatever it is, and they just couldn't get out of it, and they had to convince people. And in my book, Get Along With Everyone, the first endorsement that I got was from a doctor who specializes in Munchausen disorder. Mark Feldman is his name. And I'm appreciative to him because he was the first one to give me an endorsement. Nobody knew who I was, and he gave me an endorsement. He was a doctor, a PhD. Now, his specialty is in Munchausen disorder, which means picking up on where people are living a lie and telling a lie, and they're either doing it to themselves for medical reasons and coming up with a narrative that they sell, or they're doing it about their children, whatever, and he testifies in court about these things, and he's very knowledgeable about this. It's sad to see how people are literally living a narrative which they know isn't true, because they have to know it isn't true, because it isn't true, and they're doing things to make it true. And sometimes people just can't get out of that. They go into it and they have to keep on proving it. And they can't one day say, you know what, you're right, it was all a lie. So it's definitely not an easy thing to do. I think part of why it's not easy is because people look at it, again, like black and white. I should now say that it was always a lie. I can't do that. I can't be a fool. Right? Everyone has a certain amount of dignity. Everyone has a certain amount of self-respect. I can't say that I was being an idiot till age 30 or 20 or 40. I can't do it. I just can't. Sometimes, like I said before, sometimes just shifting it and transforming it into a new reality where you either start adapting to maybe things are changing, I thought it was crippling and going to traumatize me for life, I start seeing that I'm overcoming it. Sometimes you could shift into a new reality, at least for starters, or just start doubting it a little bit without saying that it was a lie, just to help yourself, make it easier for yourself. Sometimes people go into a reality, or sometimes a shita, right? A certain principle that they believe in, or a certain mindset, or a certain political agenda they believe in, and they feel like, how do I get out of this? I was telling so many people this already, and I can't one day say, hey, I made a mistake. Now, it's not easy to say you made a mistake, but if you know you're living a mistake, you might be best off by slowly shifting out of that thing, one way or the other. Now, again, I think that you'll need help overcoming whatever this is, both on the personal level of living a new reality going forward, and on an interpersonal level of being a little more open and not living a long-term fake attitude. So I don't think that any of this might have been too helpful or practical to just implement like that. But I think it's very important for people to realize, you know, that there's something about, like we started off with, something about Navali Mipuna, something about, there's only so much you could hide. There's only so much you could hide. So sometimes you're allowed to, and sometimes you're not allowed to. And when it gets black and white, that's where I think people make the biggest mistakes. So in short, you shouldn't be afraid that your marriage will be over or your life will be over if you change a narrative that you've been living. I don't think it will be over. I think, unfortunately, when people are afraid of doing things differently or finding out that they should be doing things differently, it definitely, you know, cripples them and doesn't allow them to move on in life and get to a better place. Let's not talk about shadichim now again. You know, there are times and places where you have to hide things. But in terms of long-term, to hide things forever or hide everything is not a way to go in relationships. being open and as open as you could afford to be is always the best thing you could do in relationships. And to still know that, yeah, at times you can't be totally open and totally transparent, that's also fine. But at least with yourself, to not fool yourself, to know which parts of a relationship you could do differently, what you could do better, where you could be more honest about yourself. You know, if we do things like that, we'll have less to be ashamed of in this world, personally, and the next world, Mitzvah Hashem, and we can hopefully live together.
You've just experienced another Torah class brought to you by TorahAnytime.com.